and welcome to today's episode of Tranquil Awakenings with me, Debbie Ison. On today's episode, I will be in conversation with Scarlett Webster, who is a therapist that works both within the NHS and also in private practice. We will be exploring Scarlett's journey through therapy and how this has shaped her both personally and professionally. We hope you enjoy today's episode. Thank you ever so much for coming here today. I keep hearing all about you. I think the first time I heard about you was from my friend Matt. I think he met you at the gym.
That's right.
And then you keep cropping up and we've sort of said hello when you came to help me last year on my hypnotherapy course.
Yes.
You was a volunteer for one of my graduates. So it's nice to actually finally meet you properly and have a chat. So,
absolutely. Like you say, we keep crossing paths, don't we?
We do. So do you want to tell us who you are and what you do?
So my name's Scarlett, and so I'm a therapist in Lincolnshire, and I currently work both for myself and I still work for Mental Health Trust in Lincolnshire as well. So kind of got my feet in two ponds at the moment.
Mm-hmm. How do you find that working for both?
I still really enjoy my NHS work, and I've always said, like, you know, until I don't, I won't, you know, I'll carry on doing it. I find it sometimes I have to wear two different hats.
Yep.
And that can sometimes be a bit challenging, because the work I do privately is different to what I do in my other role. So that can be challenging at times, but I'm kind of on a path to weaving that and seeing how that evolves over time.
That's really exciting. So did you obviously start with the NHS work?
Yeah, that's how I got into it. I mean, actually, I interestingly did a fine art degree. I was going to be an art teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And then during my degree, it was in my final year, I lost my brother. And that kind of set me on a different trajectory, really. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I think my work was about my brother.
Yeah.
And then when he passed, it was kind of like, oh, I don't quite know what to do with that now.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I was applying for my teacher training.
Yeah.
And I probably wasn't in the right place to be applying for teacher training at that time. But, you know, full steam ahead. And I got turned down for one of the courses.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I just thought, oh, I haven't got the steam in me to keep going with this. So yeah. I wanted to earn some money.
Mm-hmm.
So ended up working for the NHS, so looking after the elderly, which are really dear to my heart. I love care of the elderly.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, worked in mental health, caring for the elderly, mm-hmm. and that's what got me into mental health. And
wow.
And then trained as a therapist. And then I've worked in different services in mm-hmm. that time. But I think I kind of found my path then.
Yeah.
I think I knew I always wanted to help people. I was a young carer growing up for my brother. So mm-hmm. that was kind of inbuilt in yeah. me, really, to look after people and to support. And so, yeah, when I trained as a therapist, I could also see how my creative background got its kind of time
Absolutely.
To play,
mm-hmm.
which I hadn't thought at the, when I first went into training. I was like, oh, I've done a fine art degree. What's this got to do with it?
Yeah.
But yeah, over the years, I mean, I see it as probably one of my greatest assets, actually, having that background. Mm-hmm. And the beauty of doing a fine art degree is that it is a lot about self-expression.
Yes.
And there is a therapeutic element to that. So mm-hmm. it was really beautiful being able to weave that into then a career path.
Oh, how lovely. And on Facebook, I've seen some of your drawings before. And wow, they're incredible. So I'm glad that you get to still use that creativity in whatever capacity.
And ironically, I was never a drawer. So I used to hate drawing.
Okay.
Absolutely hated it. And I couldn't draw. That's what I told myself, the mm-hmm. story. And then it's only in probably the last year, couple of years, that I've taken to it and mm-hmm. and learned to be more patient with myself with it
yeah.
as well. I think that's a big part. I wanted the finished article to look amazing before I'd even started.
Yes.
And that was my block. It was getting in the way. So now it's just, can I enjoy the process?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes bits turn out awful and that's okay too. But it's, yeah, it's been interesting moving into drawing. And yeah. I have lots of different creative outlets, which mm-hmm. are really lovely. But, yeah, drawing was the one I never, ever saw coming.
But I think that really sort of mirrors life, doesn't it? I mean, I know I'm like that with the drawing, but also with life, that I often have an outcome or a goal or somewhere that I plan on going. And I sort of want it to happen instantly. I've had to really learn over the years patience, and that sometimes there are mistakes, sometimes they're messy bits, sometimes there are things that don't quite go to plan. But it's enjoying the journey and the process rather than necessarily focusing on that end product. Yes, it's good to know where you're going, but you need to have some flexibility with it as well.
Absolutely. And for me, one of my biggest lessons, certainly in the past few years, has been around that surrendering into process as well. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, and I still journey with that now, you know, there is no finished article, is there? But just that, can I let this go? Can I let it go a little bit more, is often a question I keep asking, because you think you've let go and then something tells you you haven't. And it's like, okay, I need to let go a little bit more of that.
Yeah.
But just that word surrender, it's a word that I find really beautiful. And hard to practice at times in certain situations, but
I say when you get to grips with that surrendering, it just opens the space, doesn't it, for magic to happen, really.
Yeah And I would say probably one of my first experiences of that was back in 2015. I joined a Buddhist sangha.
All right.
And so was working very closely with the teacher at the time, and I can remember that word coming up and really not knowing what it meant.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually through our body work where I really learnt surrender. Because, you know, we hold so much in our bodies, don't we? We hold so much tension. And I'm sat here now cross-legged, and even that's holding. But just that, you know, being able to fully let go.
Yeah.
And we do these different kind of body practices which really, really support with that. And I feel that when my body can let go, my mind then goes, oh, okay, I'll follow suit.
And I think that's so important, isn't it? And that's often when I come back to sort of the very basic teachings when I'm working with clients or when I'm doing some corporate work is, okay, focus on the breath, focus on the physiology. Because if you can alter what's going on in the body and allow that relaxation, then it allows the mind to follow.
Yeah, absolutely. And our breath is such a great anchor for that, isn't it? You know, it's something that, you know, I think I come back to time and time again, whatever wrestle is going on, can you just breathe into it, through it, with it?
Yeah.
And then the unease starts to dissipate. And that's, you know, it's something I have to remind myself about as well. Get into the human part. And then it's like, oh, yeah, I've forgotten about that little nugget.
But I think that's something even as therapists need to do. We've got those tools, but still in those moments when everything feels chaotic or the ego's come in or there's lots of emotion, it's sometimes hard to sort of remember, oh, actually, I've got all of these tools. I can apply them.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things I've learned over recent years as well is to notice that part that criticizes myself when I, you know, not necessarily forget, but lose sight of those tools, because the critical voice can sometimes come in then of, oh, I know this stuff, I should be doing it. And you know, it's okay to lose sight at times. And you know, I mean, I'm not shy of seeking out what I need. I mean, I've done over the last year a period with a breathwork facilitator.
Brilliant.
And that for me has been such a tonic. It's been a real eye-opening journey into my relationship with myself, and we've done a lot of kind of shadow work in that as well, which has been incredible.
Amazing.
tough but incredible. And yeah, that's, I mean, the rebirthing breath work is the style that we did, and that, you know, is a really great method for releasing trauma and in a really gentle way.
Yep.
I think there's a lot now in the kind of spiritual community around releasing trauma has to be this big dramatic kind of performance. You see these videos where people are violently shaking and you know, it can be that. I'm not saying it can't be, but you know, actually the way that we worked together was really gentle and really beautiful, and
which is necessary sometimes, isn't it? Because if you try and do it all at once, that can be quite exhausting.
Yeah Well, I look at day to day, our nervous systems, you know, they're put through so much in life. It's, you know, it's a crazy world that we live in, and so actually to approach healing in a way that ends up becoming almost another version of that trauma, you know, in such an aggressive way, isn't always helpful for people. You know, sometimes the low and slow is...
I think therapeutic work's a journey, isn't it? I know sometimes, like, I've been working on myself probably for the last at least a decade consistently now. And sometimes there'll be huge breakthroughs and I might need just something for a short period of time. But overall, it's a journey that's step by step. And it's sort of each time you take a step, it reveals another aspect of yourself or something else to work on.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing journey. And you shed so much as you go along. But it takes time.
Absolutely. And, you know, I know that there's probably people in my own life that maybe look and think, oh, is she not done with that stuff yet? When's she going to stop healing? But to me, it isn't, you know, it's not like I'm doing it 24/7, but it's an ongoing commitment.
Yes.
And I kind of like to bring that word to it, that this is a commitment and a dedication I have.
Absolutely. It's a way of life, isn't it? It's
absolutely.
Just constantly refining to be the very best version of yourself that you can be in any given moment.
And we're like onions, aren't we? You know, you work with one layer and then there's another one and another one. You keep peeling them back. Mm-hmm. And for me as well, there's something about that. As much as we're learning, we're also doing a heck of a lot of unlearning.
Yes.
Like you said, the shedding.
There's so many things that we pick up on in our lives that are unhealthy. Other people's limitations, other people's beliefs, society's expectations. A lot of them aren't actually healthy for us or even necessary.
No. So yeah, it's fascinating looking at it through that lens. And I've really enjoyed, through the rebirth in breathwork, getting to know different parts of myself mm-hmm. that I've not met before. And it's like, oh, I didn't know that was part of me.
Yeah.
Or, you know, even the shadow work, even the stuff, you know, the bits of ourselves we don't want to see or admit, you know, even that has been a really beautiful process because I've now got a different relationship with those parts where there's more acceptance and, you know, there's even humour at times. Like, oh,
wonderful.
There goes that bit.
Uh-huh. Which is so important, isn't it? Because when you can be compassionate to your whole self, it allows you to flourish.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's amazing. So in terms of, obviously, going back to your NHS work, what sort of therapies do you tend to focus on in that side of things then?
I suppose it's more of a traditional counselling approach. But one of the kind of modalities that I trained in, which really, it came at the right time and it felt like it really aligned with, you know, kind of the Buddhist path that I follow. And I don't see Buddhism for me as a religious practice.
No.
It's a philosophy or it's a number of philosophies that really align with my own values and ethics. Yeah. But I suppose in a way I felt like I was maybe leaving some of that behind when I went into the therapy room because there was this part of me that feared I don't want to be seen as someone that's preaching.
Yeah.
So I wasn't quite sure how to bring something that meant so much to me and something that I saw of being great value to others into my therapeutic work. And then I came across acceptance and commitment therapy. And I mean, I didn't read very much because I read a few words and went, that's the stuff.
Yeah.
That just totally aligns with my kind of lens of the world. And, you know, just there was, again, just a real spine to it that was all about self-compassion.
Yep.
And so I did some training and I've done kind of a number of different trainings in it since, but that I would say is kind of the backbone to how I work with people. I mean, I've worked with cognitive behavioral therapy in the past, but me and that never got on.
Yeah.
I always said I wasn't very good at it because I saw it could help, but I didn't see that it could heal necessarily.
Yes. That makes sense.
And so, you know, ACT for me has been a way of working with people that I can integrate other stuff with, but it's just got this really solid foundation.
Okay.
And because a lot of it is based, though some psychologists might argue that, but a lot of it is based upon Buddhist philosophy and principles and the teachings that for me I was then able to work in a way that I was like, oh, this just feels really aligned now.
Oh, how wonderful. And I think that's always something I've struggled with. Every so often I've been asked to go into sort of an organisation to do some therapeutic work. And straight away I get a little bit panicked. Are they going to limit the way I work? Because I work so freely and so organically. So I think when you find something like that that you can bring into that sort of paid role is really important. So I'm so glad that you found that with that side of things.
Yeah, and it's I mean, even in my private work, I still use ACT predominantly because it's just been a way of working that I've found hugely beneficial for people. And, you know, it gets us out of that wrestling because a lot of therapies talk about challenging and changing. And acceptance is what it says on the tin.
Yep.
And actually, when we stop wrestling, I mean, I love, there's a metaphor in ACT, which is about learning to dance with your material, not wrestle with it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think about dancing, I picture something very fluid and organic. Yes. Whereas when I think about wrestling, I think, oh, I'm exhausted. And that is what sometimes challenging and, you know, engaging with our thoughts in that way. You know, in acceptance, the surrender as well.
Yeah.
Letting it be. So
amazing.
Yeah, it's been really, you know, it's been a real pivotal point in my kind of career path, really, training in that.
How wonderful. So obviously you said you do private work as well. What sort of things do you do in your private practice?
So I still work with clients using counselling and you know, bringing in the different kind of modalities within that. I am integrative. I don't have one tool that fits all. I will never work that way. But then about 4 or 5 years ago, I trained in NLP and hypnotherapy.
Yep.
So I use, again, it's whoever sat in front of me, whether it's appropriate or not for them. And then my journey over the past year is teaching me that my work is to evolve further.
Yes.
So I thought once I trained in NLP and hypnotherapy, I thought, oh, maybe it'll stop there for a bit. But it's been quite a quick succession of going into the world of shamanics.
Wonderful.
And I started my training for that last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not rushing that process, because when I entered the training, I made a vow that actually this was about me.
Yep.
So I really want to work with this for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, again, not to attach an outcome to that, but then if there is a time where I feel I want my work to evolve with that, with other people, which I feel it will.
Yep.
But I'm not rushing that process. And it's been really beautiful, because actually being able to just focus on it on me has given me a lot more faith and strength in what I'm doing.
Yes. And I think sometimes that's the most powerful thing as a therapist, to have actually gone through the process yourself. Yeah. Because you really relate to it, you understand it, and you know that it works.
Yeah, and I can see, I mean, I did a course, it was back in 2019, I think it was, in outdoor therapy.
Okay.
And naively, I went along to that training. It was stunning, actually. We were in this woodland for a long weekend with this trainer. It was 4 counsellors.
Mm-hmm.
And we stayed in this little kind of hut together, and we camped out and had like campfires every night. It was really like going back to the wilderness. It was beautiful. But it was my first initiation really into shamanics. Okay. But I didn't know it at the time, because we worked with the medicine wheel.
Yep.
Which is kind of a native tool for kind of exploring a lot of personal stuff. And so we worked with that tool, and I got so much from that course, but it brought up so much for me. And I can remember at the end of the course, there was a lot of people there that were going, yep, I'm going to, you know, start offering outdoor therapy. I'm going to start advertising this. And, you know, literally they were all walking out of there ready to go. And I actually sat there in this sharing circle at the end and went, I can't. I have got so much more work I need to do.
Yeah.
There was a lot of embodiment practices that weekend, and I was as stiff as a board. So we were being told to move with what we were feeling, and I was just like this ironing board in the middle of a forest. And I learned a lot about my relationship with nature that weekend, and the journey that's took, because nature's a huge part, part of my world and part of my life. And I can see where I'm going with my shamanic work. It's going outdoors.
Wonderful.
So my work that I do at the minute, when I use the tools, I go and sit in a forest.
How lovely.
I can't sit in my living room and do it in the same way. It's just not the same. So like at the weekend, I went and sat in a forest and just had some time with the tools. And the experiences I'm having there are totally different and more profound.
Yeah.
So I can see how that course all those years ago in some way has led me to this path now.
Fascinating how it sort of weaves in and out, isn't it? And I was saying to you, I use a lot of shamanic work, but I hadn't realized it was shamanic things. So I'd gone on sort of personal journeys, and I think one of the things I did a few years ago was I birthed my own drum.
Yeah.
And it was such a beautiful, magical experience. And then it just started incorporating into my practice sometimes. It's just all of a sudden I get a calling, if you need to play the drum now. Do I? Okay, so, and I didn't really feel like I knew what I was doing, but it just seemed to help and to shift what was needed.
Yeah.
And then a lot of the work that I do has become more the transpersonal element. So soul retrieval, soul fragmentation, past life work, entity release work, all of those different elements that are part of shamanism.
Yeah.
And I didn't realise that because it just happened. Clients would just come forwards. Things would happen in the therapy room. I was like, okay, I've got to deal with this now.
Yeah.
I've got to think on my feet. So I don't know if I've had a past life or something where I was more in tune with that way of working.
Yeah.
Or if I was being guided sort of spiritually to do it. But then I started reading books more on that subject. And it started saying, actually, this has shamanic roots. And I was like, wow. And then I've read about it. I'm fascinated by shamanic work. So it's something I definitely want to pursue. So whenever I hear anyone like you talking about it, it gets me really excited.
And I've got tingles going up my legs just listening to you talk about it, because it just feels, for me as well, you know, we think that everything we're carrying is in this life.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've realised is, you know, barely scratches the surface what we're going through in this life. You know, the work I've done on my own past life so far has really shown me, like, oh, okay, I've struggled with that for years, and that's been nothing to do with this lifetime.
Yeah.
That's so fascinating.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, and people are carrying this stuff and don't know.
I think one of the biggest things for me, because I've gone into a lot of my past lives now, any opportunity to go to a past life, I'll go there. But a lot of it's been retrieving that personal power as well. I didn't realise how many aspects of my being had been lost along the way, both my soul and my power. And the more I've claimed that back, the more I'm feeling confident to be who I am, to stand on my own two feet and say, this is who I am, this is why I'm here, and this is where I sit in the world, and I'm okay with that.
Absolutely. And, you know, we can look back on our lives or this life and go, oh, it was when I was five this happened. And that's just a little seed in it. You know, actually, when you go back into past life journeys, there's so much more information that then gives you that sense of what you're experiencing in this lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, and some of it is lessons, isn't it? It's things that we've had to learn.
Absolutely. And I think that's what I was going to explain. What lessons did I learn? What lessons haven't I achieved? What do I need to overcome? What do I need to heal? Then speaking to my husband, like, I think it was the other night in bed, we were just talking. He said, maybe actually we should take you to a past life. Not where you're dealing with some trauma or some difficulty, but maybe we should ask next time you want to go into a past life, go to your favourite past life. I thought, wow. That has never occurred to me, to actually go to just something really... I mean, I've gone to happy past lives or positive ones, but to ask what's my favourite, I'm like, oh, I'm quite excited by that, but I'm always like, how am I going to be able to choose?
That's stunning, isn't it? Shows sometimes our wiring. I think particularly when you work in the therapy field, you're used to going to the dark past. Someone says, you can go into the light if you want. Oh, can I? Didn't realise that.
It's a completely novel idea to me. I was like, that never occurred to me.
It was interesting you saying about your drum as well, because I did a similar thing. I birthed a drum, but I went and birthed one and came away with two.
Wow.
And it's actually the extra one that I came away with was talking to me all the way through. Because it was the one that I was being shown from the demo.
Yep.
And I was like, I'm pretty sure that you're coming home with me. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, she said, this will be going for sale later. And I went, it won't. It's coming home with me.
Uh-huh.
And my drum that I birthed has been beautiful, but actually the lessons I've got, it's like my drum is like a really supportive drum.
Yeah.
But then I've got this teacher drum that's, oh, she's challenging me. And just the other week, I've been doing this thing on my shamanic training at the minute around reprogramming.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at where those kind of belief systems have originated from.
Yeah.
And this is pre-birth stuff as well. Uh-huh. And I've felt a massive shift in me since I've done that. The work's been really monumental, and I brought a lot of embodiment stuff into it as well to shift things. But what I kept saying during that period was, I'm expanding. And I just could feel myself expanding, both physically, emotionally, soul level. And then a few days after I'd finished it all, I looked at my drum and she'd split. So the lacing round the back had split. And I was like, of course she has.
Uh-huh.
And I've spent some time working with her to kind of sew the split up, because that's what she was telling me. She was like, you can sew me up. But it's just been fascinating how that's come about at a similar time, and the lessons she's been teaching me through that process.
Yeah.
It's just, it's
incredible,
astounding.
Isn't it? You see, I've got obviously my drum that I birthed, but very, very specific that it works with the feminine aspect, but particularly trauma that's been experienced by females and trauma to the feminine.
Yeah.
So it's quite specific, those occasions where she'll allow me to use her. Yeah. So I was using her quite a lot when I first birthed her, but for all my clients it was relevant for.
Yeah.
And then when we moved here, she just stopped playing. And like every time I tried to, just a dull thud sound, I thought, oh, what's gone on? And for 2 years, she wouldn't play. And then all of a sudden, I had a client a little while ago downstairs. And I was like, the drums needed. And she sang absolutely beautifully. And it was just what was needed. But I feel maybe that was something for my journey. Because I think in the last couple of years, I've been really looking at the masculine and feminine energetic balance within me. And also how I express myself to the outer world. Because I just feel like an energy.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm an energy. Sometimes that goes to what people more traditionally see as feminine or masculine.
Yeah.
And also that's how I see everybody else. I see them as energies and I just get on with everybody. I'll talk to anyone. It doesn't matter what body somebody's in. It's the soul or the person.
Absolutely.
And I think because of that, though, it's brought up quite a lot of challenges in the past couple of years, particularly because some people don't like that.
Yeah.
Because actually they don't think if you're a woman, you should be talking to a man. Because, and I'm like, what? It just doesn't occur to me. Or because you're a woman, you need to behave in a certain way or you shouldn't do this. So it's, I felt really challenged in getting that balance. And I think all of a sudden I'd come to that equilibrium where I was like, actually, I feel okay again. And that's all of a sudden when my drums come back in of like, okay, then we'll carry on working together now.
How so beautiful is that?
Really interesting.
I really relate to what you're saying there. And I think I've had a lot of work to undo really around my relationship with the masculine, because I'm very much the same. You know, we are made up of energy and sometimes it's masculine, sometimes it's feminine. But I've lived a lot of my life earlier years in a very masculine energy.
Yes.
And up to about a couple of years ago, I was hard at it. I was rock climbing, mountain climbing. I was ignoring my body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if my body was aching, but there was a mountain in front of me, tough, we're going up it.
Yeah.
And I've suffered as a result of that. You know, I have a few kind of physical complaints with my back and my hip, and it's been through denial of the feminine.
Yeah.
So my, you know, my reasons for going into the breath work were really around engaging with my body and with this energy in a different way and learning the feminine, almost like how to work with the feminine. Mm-hmm. And that's still ongoing for me. You know, that's
same
still
here.
a big thread, isn't it? And I, you know, I can't help but look around and think, you know, for a lot of women, that is the case. You know, we live in quite a masculine energy field in this world, don't we?
And I think almost we're taught that if you want to make a success of anything, you need to really be stepping into that masculine aspect.
Yeah.
To drive things, to push things forwards. Well, we don't.
Yeah.
But it's sort of how our society is constructed.
Absolutely. And there's a place for it, but it's how then we engage with that as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's probably been my biggest piece of learning in the last couple of years now to really commit to engaging with this feminine energy. And I've got to know, again, different parts of myself. So that's been really beautiful.
It's amazing. Well done for noticing it and having that awareness.
Yeah, well, my hip certainly told me. My hip was saying, you can't carry on like this. And, you know, and I still, I'm very much a believer that my hip is a teacher to me.
Yes.
Even still, it lets me know when things are not right.
Absolutely. And that's what I think. The body is there to give you messages. And I know a few years ago, It's not long after I said, yeah, universe, bring it on. I'm clearing everything, not only from this lifetime, but every lifetime I've ever experienced. All of a sudden, all this chaos started ensuing in my life, coming from all different directions. And for a while, I tried to run from it because I was like, I can't handle this. It's too difficult. So my body thought, well, that's not happening. And took my ankle out. So I was coming down the last step and I really badly twisted my ankle. And so I had to rest and I had to be physically still.
Wow.
But then as soon as it started to get a little bit better, I tried to start running again, doing too much physically.
Yeah.
But also it was that, right, I'm denying the emotional self that needs healing.
Yeah.
So my body said, right, if you're not going to listen, we're going to have to take the other one out as well. So my other ankle went. And as a result of that, I was in pain for a year and struggling to walk for a year. And it made me slow down. It made me have to have time where I had to just sit. I had to rest. And in those moments of stillness was then where I had to face myself and I had to face the emotions that were coming up. So it was brilliant. And I think as soon as I surrendered that, is once again coming to that surrender, my ankle's healed.
I mean, I've got no words for that because it is what it is, isn't it? Like the body and the way that this all works, you know, if you are tuning in, mm-hmm. you'll get what you need.
Yes.
And until then, you'll be suffering.
Exactly. But I think it's that difference, isn't it? Sometimes there's a difference between want and need. Yeah. Sometimes we think we want something, but we know what we need deep down. Yeah. Even if it isn't always nice or pleasant and sometimes it's tricky,
yeah.
there's sometimes a process and a journey we need to go through to allow ourselves to emerge at the other end of it better.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's just listening, isn't it? And avoiding that resistance.
Yeah, and I think I read a while ago that it was, I can't remember who wrote this, but, you know, if we don't listen to the whispers, the body will scream. And it's so true, you know, because mm-hmm. I look back with my own relationship with my body and there's definitely been whispers that I was ignoring.
Yes.
And then it's when it screams, you're like, oh, okay, I'll listen now then.
Mm-hmm. We need to start taking a more proactive approach rather than reactive, don't we,
yeah.
when it gets too much?
Yeah.
But I think once again, society, we're told just keep going, keep pushing harder, ignore yeah. those things. And I think in our society, there's very much that still stiff upper lip, you don't complain, you don't share these things, you just get on with it. Yeah. And it's getting better.
Yeah.
But it's something that I think not only comes through sort of what we've been taught, but probably ancestrally.
Yeah, absolutely. And it takes a lot of courage to stand in that sovereign position and deny that and say, I'm not going to continue like that.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the things I've learnt over the last winter has been that really, you know, just embracing the slow and enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
And even when, you know, spring has started to emerge now, but I'm not racing out of it.
Yeah.
I can feel myself slowly crawling out of this mm-hmm. winter. But yeah, there's not a part of me that wants to run out of it. And that's been really nice because normally, I mean, I used to push through winters.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've really learned the art of hibernation and the need to go inwards during that period.
Which is amazing because once again, that shows how you're connected with nature and mm. the shamanic work. But also, like you say, that's what nature does. Nature yeah. sort of retreats. It slows down. Things go into hibernation.
Yeah.
The plants lay dormant sort of in that time and everything else rests.
Yeah.
And yet because of the way we're sort of told we have to keep going and follow certain structures, we don't allow ourselves that time. So I think the fact that you've said, no, I'm going to honour this cycle is amazing. And that's something I think I need to do more of.
Yeah, the connection with the cycles has been something that's become very important to me. Because I know when I'm out of alignment
mm-hmm.
by whether I'm doing what nature's telling me to do.
Yeah.
And even with spring, you know, we talk about spring and it's not like overnight the flowers pop up.
No.
And the lambs pop out, you know. Again, it's an emergence. So mm-hmm. that has really helped me to, at the moment, my energy levels aren't telling me to run.
No.
My energy levels are telling me to walk slowly.
Yeah.
And that's me emerging out of my winter into the spring,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just that living more kind of cyclically and in line with nature. And, I mean, I've been working quite a bit with a witch wound.
Oh, wow.
So through my past life yep. work, you know, and there's a lot of us that carry those witch wounds.
Mm-hmm.
But that as well, that journey for me has got me more connected with the seasons, the cycles
yeah.
And nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if I had to kind of describe the kind of witch that I feel connected to, it is green. It's, you know, it's,
yeah.
it's nature. It's working with plants
mm-hmm.
and working with, you know, the cycles and the seasons.
That's amazing. And I think so many of us have had that experience where in previous lives or our ancestors have worked with the land, they've worked with the herbs and the natural medicines yeah. around, they've been able to perhaps tune in sort of to more sort of psychic type gifts yeah. and will have been persecuted in some way.
Yeah.
So we've been told you have to shut it down for safety.
Yeah.
And it's a real shame because it makes a huge disconnect with who you really are
yeah.
and all of your gifts and all your potentials. To actually the tiny bit that you're allowing yourself to show within this sort of reality at this time. So I think the fact that you're healing that is massively transformative.
Absolutely. And I'm seeing a lot of it at the moment as well. I
yes.
think when you start journeying, all of a sudden you're like, oh, there's lots of us.
Yes.
And I read a book a while ago. I don't know if you've read it, Unwell Women.
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's a fantastic book because it really gives you the kind of history of you know, kind of women's journey with their bodies, their health,
mm-hmm.
the health system.
Yeah.
And, you know, that disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
And through reading that, it's really helped me to continue on this path. Because the thing is, when you're doing past life stuff, there's times where the mind's going, what?
Yes.
What? Because it doesn't make a logical sense. Yeah. There's just this deep knowing. Like for me, when I talk about the witch wound, my body goes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. my mind goes, what?
Yeah.
But yeah, there's just been this deep trust and knowing mm-hmm. in it. And, you know, there's a real emergence at the moment of women coming forwards into the healing world again. And
absolutely.
It's like a reclamation. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's incredible. And I know that was a big part of my journey. Mm-hmm. Was all of a sudden when I started releasing some of that past life trauma, it appears that I've had quite a lot of lives where same cycle has kept happening again and again and again, that I've had various skills, various healing abilities in different lifetimes. And I've ended up being hung, burnt at the stake, stabbed to death, tortured, all these other things. But as soon as I started to recognise that and then release the trauma from it, once again, I was able to stand much more in my authentic self and say, this is who I am.
Yeah.
Because a big part of my fear was, because I started off quite clinical, was that if I come out as being a spiritual being, somebody that works with energy, somebody who just do some of these things that are not more conventional, mainstream, are people going to shun me? Are they going to stop thinking I'm credible all of a sudden? Which is nonsense. It just means that it's all incorporated now and I provide a better service. I had to heal that within myself to then be brave enough to say, actually, this is me, this is how I work, and this is who I am.
Because it doesn't mean that, you know, everybody that stands in front of you use the same lens for anyway.
Absolutely.
People, you meet them where they're at.
Yes.
You know, and that can evolve and change throughout the process. Mm-hmm. But I think it's so powerful, like you're describing, that when you can recognise that part in you, when it's coming up and playing out.
Yeah.
And going, hold on, I know what that is. It loses its power.
Absolutely.
And it's beautiful to witness that happening and to hear, you know, to hear other people describe it as well. Mm-hmm. That, it doesn't need to have that same power anymore.
Yeah. Which I think is amazing. That's what I always say to my students when I'm training them. Keep working on yourself, keep recognizing what's going on. Any limiting beliefs or patterns that are holding you back, release them, let them go, face them, and they lose their power and you feel so much better. But also when you're working with clients, it's not about your belief systems, it's not about your journey, it's being with the client wherever they are and guiding them through their process. And I think that's really empowering.
Absolutely. And I think for clients that I'm, you know, kind of wanting to work with in the future, I can see how the shamanic path is going to weave into that. But the focus and commitment, I guess, I've made to myself is you do it first.
Yes.
Do the work on you first and cement that knowledge. And I think I've done that throughout all my training.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've certainly not been the one to rush out the door and go, right, let's get it on the website or let's get doing that. I've always wanted that. Like integration time to really understand it, because then I feel when I bring it to somebody else, I know I've embodied it,
which is amazing. I think that's really empowering as well, because you understand it, but also it means that you can walk away from anything in your life that doesn't suit you. You can say, actually, I've outgrown this person, this situation, this place, this belief system. And I've learnt the skills to move myself forward, and now I can use that to help others.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is amazing. Well done. Well done for being committed to your journey.
Oh, it's lovely to talk with somebody like-minded in this way as well. You know, because there are sometimes those times where, you know, kind of others in your world that maybe aren't quite on that path, you know, and there's always those eyes of like, are you not done yet? And no, I'm not.
Yeah.
There isn't a done.
No, there isn't. And I don't think I'll ever be done.
No.
Because there's always something new to learn about myself, about the world around me, about others.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
It is. And do you know what? That's exactly it. It is exciting. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, oh, I'm fed up of this. When's this going to be done?
Yeah.
I mean, don't run, there's times where you're like, you're digging in the trenches. But, you know, just that notion that I don't have to become a finished article is actually quite liberating.
It really is. And I think then that allows for self-forgiveness and self-compassion, looking back on the past. Do you know what? I have made some mistakes. I've said and done some stupid things.
Yeah.
Would I do them again? No, because I've learnt from those situations. They've been opportunities for my growth.
Yeah.
And I think it allows you to acknowledge your past, be in your present, and also just look forward to your future, because it could become anything. Anything you want it. You can become anything you want to be.
Yeah. And I think, You know, I mentioned earlier about the shadow work, very similarly, you know, that is so liberating once you can embrace those parts of yourself. Mm-hmm. And one of the bits of work I did kind of at the start of this year and I'm continuing to do now is those letters of, not letters that I send, but letters that I write that are about forgiveness for self, but forgiveness for others. Mm-hmm. And also acknowledging any pains that you've caused other people as well.
Yeah, which is a huge thing, yeah. Isn't it?
Because we've all done it.
Absolutely, because we're human beings, yeah. And we make mistakes, and yeah. It's tricky navigating our own emotions, yeah. Never mind having to work with other people and their emotions and their situations and processes. So it's really important to acknowledge all of that.
Yeah.
Wow, amazing. So in terms of your clients that you work with now, sort of in your private practice, what do you tend to focus on?
Gosh, it's quite varied, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, I think one of the things I'm really passionate about is probably, and it's become more this way, is supporting women, mm-hmm. to live in a more embodied way. And I can see the type of work I'm doing evolving into that.
Yeah.
But at the moment, it's really varied. I think often people find me when they're at crossroads.
Interesting.
Which I've really noticed. And that's something I've journeyed a lot with, mm-hmm. in times in my life where, like, these big things have happened and it's put me at a crossroads of like, right, which way do I go?
Yes.
And I love being somebody that someone can explore that with. Mm-hmm. Because that's something I think in the past I've probably denied myself. I've got myself through those crossroads and not necessarily sought out maybe the help that, mm-hmm. that could have supported me at the time. I've been a bit stubborn and independent. But yeah, I find that people tend to come to me when they're at a bit of a crossroads, mm-hmm. and that's beautiful. I love working in that way.
And I think that is so important, because I think they're the times that cause the most friction in my life when I'm at a crossroads.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always have to be like every decision I make is a bad one. It could be that I'm at a crossroads where actually there's lots of positive opportunity, yeah. but which direction do I take it? Because everything feels appealing. So to have somebody to guide me through that, I think would be really beneficial, because it's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And crossroads do feel overwhelming, even if there's opportunity there. And it's being able to hold space for both the challenge of that and the beauty of it.
Yeah.
And also that there's nothing that is permanent. Uh-huh. So you can head over the crossroads or you can turn right. It doesn't mean that you can't then go a different way.
Exactly. And I was having this conversation. I had a 16-year-old come to work with me the other day, and they were very, very anxious about their exams. And I understand that, because they've got a pressure upon them. But I just said to them, it doesn't really matter. Of course, it matters that you want to do well, but you can change direction at any point in your life you want. Yes, you think you know where you're going at this career, and that's amazing. And that might work out for you. But do you know what? If it doesn't, that's okay, because there'll be another opportunity and another present itself throughout your life. And it's being open to that, isn't it? And knowing that you'll be okay.
Yes, yeah. And I mean, I really feel for, I mean, I don't tend to work with younger people, but mm-hmm. I really feel for them now with the pressures that are on them around, you know, making decisions and, you know, sometimes the guidance they have towards certain career paths. And
yes.
You know, I mean, I look at all the things I'm aware of now as careers or paths in life, and I think, gosh, I, you know, when I was at school, it was go to university, and teaching was kind of the hot,
same here,
the hot one,
yeah. And I think that's because that was the closest thing.
Yeah,
like I think I got a choice of either it was teaching, and I also liked the idea of counselling, but there wasn't that many counselling courses at university at the time.
No.
But also, I just felt me as a 17-year-old applying for university. I didn't have the life experience at the time to go and qualify. And who would want to come and see me? Yes, I was 17, but probably when I qualified, I'd probably only look about 16, because I looked very, very young. I didn't feel like it was the right path. So I did the teaching, yeah. but had no idea of all of this world, all of this well-being stuff that we do, and that there are other options. It doesn't have to just be that university path.
Absolutely. And that you can come to it at any point as well, I think is nice, because you know, there's so much pressure to make that decision when mm-hmm. and actually when I look back at like my art degree, I have a different relationship with that now, because I think actually it was such a great time to just explore stuff.
Yeah.
You know, yes, okay, I did have in my head I wanted to become an art teacher, but actually I got a chance to play in that time.
Yeah.
And experiment and explore, you know, I was very committed to my degree, actually. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I didn't do the whole socializing at uni.
Yeah.
I was the introvert that spent all their time in a studio making
stuff. Same here.
Stuff.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, I look back on that really fondly now. There's no regret of, oh, I did a degree that didn't necessarily get me the career. But it was a great time to play.
Gave you the resources as well that you need for your life. And that's what I think. Everything that I've ever learned or studied has come in useful in some way or another, even though I don't maybe directly do some of it now.
Yeah. Yeah. There's always a nugget to take from everything we do.
There is. And I think when you recognise that in life, it just means then everything's more joyful and there's opportunities and positivity in every single thing that you do.
Yeah.
Amazing. So it's nearly coming to the end already. If anybody wants to work with you, whereabouts would they find you or make contact with you?
So I've got a website, which is thrivetherapist.com. Mm-hmm. I'm also on the counselling directory. But yeah, I have a contact form on there.
So obviously we know your first name's Scarlett. What's your surname if somebody's
Webster.
Lovely. Yeah.
Sorry, forget that bit.
I just thought, because I know you as your Facebook profile name as well, which is completely different. Yeah. So just before you go, I'd like to ask you, are there any final words of guidance or wisdom that you might like to leave our audience with?
Oh gosh, that's a nugget, isn't it? I think, you know, one of the words that I'm working with personally a lot at the minute is trust.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that is something that, I see a lot of is people not trusting themselves.
Yeah.
And they come sometimes to me with not trusting others. And that's always a reflection of the trust they don't have within themselves. So I think I'm just going to leave that word, trust.
Amazing. Oh, well, thank you so much for coming and having a chat with me today.
No, thank you. I've loved it.
Brilliant. And thank you ever so much for our audience for listening today. Take care and I shall speak to you again soon. Bye-bye for now. If you enjoyed this podcast, please make sure you subscribe. If you would like to find out more about the therapies that we provide and the training we offer, please visit our website, www.tranquil-awakenings.co.uk. You can also find us on social media.